Perfect. Here we go. Acts chapter 6. This is where we left it last night. The synagogue of the freedmen could not stand up to the wisdom that Stephen spoke with. And we talked about what that faithful meant. It's the ability to stand strong. And so, since they couldn't stand strong, here's what they did. They persuaded, they stirred, and they produced false witnesses. They began to lie. And from there, they began to look intently at how Stephen would respond, and they saw that his face was like that of an angel. And what we said was this. It was the idea that our internal world changes when we know the Spirit of God in us, and it produces an external response. When we hear and we know and we meet Jesus for ourselves, our internal world changes, and it produces an external response. And so the high priests, they look at Stevie Boy and they're like, are they true? Now the correct answer is no, these charges are not true. And so the better question for you to talk about is, what's the right way to say no? Do you say it very politely? No, no, sir, they are not. Do you get a little defensive? These men are lying. No, I haven't. You have to believe me. Is the appropriate no a little beggy? Is the appropriate no, that's stupid, you're stupid? Or is the appropriate answer, let your face do the talking. Once you talk about it for like less than 12 seconds. Ready, go. Toot, toot. All right, and so the correct answer is probably talk to the hand because my face is glowing. That's what you are all thinking, but that is not what Stephen said. Here we go. Acts chapter 7. Here's our verses for the morning. Are these charges correct? Here's how he replied. He called them brothers. He called them like, hey, you are my people. He looks at not only their humanity, like these were men that were pointing at him, accusing him, lying about him. But he also appealed to their culture and their heritage. Brothers and fathers, listen. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham because you know he had many sons. Very good. While he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Oh, wait. That part of this story you may not know. Before father Abraham had many sons and many sons of father Abraham. And you know this song? Before that, Abraham was named Abram, and Abram married a woman before these words from God. Track with me. The woman he married before he had many sons was barren. Abram intentionally married a woman who would not give him a son. And there's a backstory happening there that Stephen is appealing to. Leave your country, leave your people is the call of God to this man named Abram, who's married a barren woman who will never give him many sons, and go to the land I will show you. Guys, this is Acts chapter 7. It is our third long form sermon, true sermon in the book of Acts. And this is what I need you to know as you guys leave out of here. I want to walk through this sermon with you and show you what Stephen does. I love that Stephen tells the right pieces of the story to the right people. It's really cool for you to be really smart about your Bible. It's really cool for you to be fired up and energetic about how Fort was. But for people to listen to you, you must tell the right pieces of the story in the right way to the right people. Let's walk through it really quickly. Here's what happens. Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. The glory of God appears to Abraham while he's still in Mesopotamia. Leave your country. That's a direct quote of Genesis 12. And Genesis 12 is this beautiful thing. The Lord says to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your fathers. I will make you into a great nation. And here's what happens in Genesis 12. Abraham believes God. And so the very first teaching element of this sermon is that God calls you and I. We see it in Acts 7. We have sung songs. We have read the scripture together. You guys have been in nature. You have gone and done quiet time, cabin times. You guys have served one another. You've listened to some weak preaching. And again and again and again, what you have heard is God calling you, just like he did Abram, just like it shows up in Stephen's sermon. Stephen goes on, because the patriarchs, that's the fathers, were jealous of Joseph. So Stephen is telling the story of the Bible here. They sold Joseph as a slave, but God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom. He enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so Pharaoh makes him ruler over all Egypt. Guys, here it is. It's Genesis 39. The Lord was with, and the Lord was with. The second sermon point that we hear in Stephen is this. You may recognize these words. God is with us. Not only does he call us, he is with us. It is the story told again and again and again in Scripture. And if you don't know the whole story of this, these are the bullet points. Stephen is giving it to people listening. I'm giving to you what Stephen gave to them. God calls us to follow him without ever leaving us alone, without ever leaving us stranded, without ever leaving us helpless. That is the story told again and again in Scripture. Stephen goes on. He hits the third part of his sermon. There it is. Yeah, with us, by us, in us. Okay, here we are. Stephen keeps moving. 34, 38. All of a sudden, we're talking about Moses, a third character in the sermon. I've seen the oppression of people in Egypt, my people. I hear their groaning. I come to set them free. Now come, Moses. I am sending you from the desert back home. This is pretty important because we are on my last two teaching sermons. And so I have two more opportunities to tell you guys, I'm sending you home, whether that's immediately tomorrow or whether that is after Step Up Week. You guys don't live here. So you've got to understand what God does. I love Acts 7:38. Moses received living words from God to pass on. And that's coming from Deuteronomy 32. The story that Stephen tells, the sermon that he preaches, is nothing that he has thought up on his own. In the same way, guys, when I teach you, I don't say much of anything that I can't prove right here. Here it is. God is at work in his world, and he is speaking to us. Elise's cabin. You guys know that this is prayer. Prayer is God at work in his world and him speaking to us, and we speak to him. That's prayer. We call on God to be good and just and holy in his world, that he loves infinitely more than we do. And yet he chooses to use us in his world. Stephen is telling this part of the story. We have the fourth section of Stephen's sermon, 7:45 through 48. We're on to our fourth character in the sermon. David enjoys God's favor. And David, remember that whole king thing that we got to? David says, God, you're really good. You're really, really good. Let me build a cathedral. Let me build a temple for you. And God looks at David and says, your hands are too bloody. Like legit, that's what he says. He says, you're a man of war. If you think the Bible's boring, go read it. Because whenever David, one of the greatest king in all of the Old Testament, in all of Judaism, whenever he says, hey, I want to build a structure like this for you, God, God says, no, you're too bloody. And so it was Solomon who built the house. And then we see this in 48. The Most High does not live in houses. He doesn't live in churches. He doesn't live in temples. And here's the aha for you guys. He doesn't live at Fort. Isaiah 66 is the statement there. What kind of house would you even build for me, says God? I made everything you see, and I made you. This is the sermon that Stephen is saying to them and to us. He's saying that you do not have to fear when you leave here, where we are joined with one heart and one mind, and you go back into places where there's opposition. Because your work is to take the story, to take the life, to meet God's Spirit who is already there when you leave here. That's the story that's being told. And then he has this rousing closing to his sermon. It sounds a lot like me. You stiff-necked people, your hearts and your ears are uncircumcised. We don't have to get into that. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist. My older crew really appreciated that. You always resist the Holy Spirit. This is his big closing. And so this is your chance to talk. You've heard the sermon. It's a four-parter, and he closes it with this: you always resist the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the response to this sermon, just like mine, will not be positive. And so, here we go again, jail time. Nope, there's hope, rhymed it. This history sermon is gonna work. Stephen is a good preacher, everyone's asleep. He just signed his death sentence, let's put him on a cross. Let's send him to the dentist. There is nothing worse I can imagine. This is a shout out to Laura Reynolds. Then the dentist, banish him. The leaders still follow the law. Stone him. Grab a rock. Start chucking. Here is the closing line. What is the response? Ready, go. Yes. This is awesome. All right, we're going to respond digitally. You only get one vote. I'm so sorry about this. Okay, here we go again. Jail time. Ones. No. Yeah, a few of us. Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. Nope, there's hope. Come on, give me a happy ending for once. Okay, I'll take it. Stephen's a good preacher. Everyone fell asleep. He went for so long. No, all right, maybe. A couple of you jokesters back there. Put him on a cross. You want to be like Jesus? That's cool. Go for it. Anybody? Okay. Send him to the dentist. I can think of nothing worse. Very nice. Okay. Banish him. Let's just kick him out. Kick him out. All right. And then chuck him. Is everybody? Okay. Well, you're all wrong. And I'm so sorry, all you chuckers. Here's what happens. The members of the Sanhedrin hear it. They're furious. And they begin to gnash their teeth. Send him to the dentist was the correct answer for all of you who raised your hand. Well done. Andrew goes, I'm pretty sure they didn't even have dentists back then. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looks up to heaven. This is incredible. He sees the glory of God. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And then he opens his fat mouth again. Preachers never know when to shut up if you're tracking with me. Look, I see heaven open. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Like, that's a really, really cool thing and stupid thing to say, right? The cool thing is, like, he sees Jesus. The question is, how does he see Jesus? Because he's full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a job, and it's to make Jesus known inside you and I, beside you and I, and in God's world. That's the Holy Spirit's role. So it's super cool. The Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God at this. Now all you banish him from the city, people. You are correct. And all you pick up rocks and get ready to chuck them. You people are correct. They cover their ears. They begin to yell. And they rush him, drag him from the city, and begin to stone him. Acts 7, verse 59 and 60. They are incredible what happens next. And I wonder, I just wonder, if Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, knows what he says is identical to what Jesus says. My gut says he doesn't know. My gut says he doesn't know, because the book of Luke, where we get this passage from, has not yet been written. The words that Stephen says are identical to what Jesus says on the cross. Forgive them. Here comes my spirit. But no one's taught Stephen this yet, is my idea. This is what full of the Spirit looks like, feels like, and sounds like. And the name of this sermon was Fall Asleep, which was why it was funny to be one of the youch answers that Stephen's a really good preacher find, and everyone else fell asleep. But it means he died. To fall asleep is a metaphor for dying. And this is incredible when you understand that Jesus said the exact same words on the cross as he was getting ready to die. It's a heavy one, but it's a beautiful story. Guys, this is the day where what we are trying to do is take everything we've learned and make sure you guys have it in a package where you can hold it for yourself. Let me say that again. The day, my work today, is to make sure that I have taken everything I've taught over these sessions and I put them in a package where you can hold the package for yourself. Because here's the aha, I tell my college kids all the time, they cannot have my faith. This is true for my daughters. My daughters cannot have my faith. So you must learn how to take the right pieces from this week home. Because you can use my faith as an example. You can use Stephen's sermon as an example. You can use the whole of the Bible as the example. But faith must be yours. And it must have legs. Because you have to walk home with it. The hope that we see again and again in Scripture is that when we turn towards Jesus, who upon his death looked at the people who killed him and said, forgive them. And then when we see this guy named Steve, who's looking at the people holding rocks, getting ready to kill him, full of the Spirit, there it makes no sense. And you all are saying in your minds, what the heck? How in the world can you say forgive them as the rock is thrown? The only answer is full of the Spirit. I've got one more idea that I can't wait to teach on tonight. So we're going to break here for small groups. Heavenly Father, I pray that as a room we feel the weight of those words, but also the excitement that is embedded in those words. That we could learn how to look at opposition, that we could learn to look at hard places and hard moments, and full of the Spirit say words that are forgiving, to say words that are healing, to say words that restore. But not because we are smart, but not because we're good people, but because we have hope in Jesus saying those words to us from the cross. Amen. Amen. Good job, everybody.